PR Dirt, the podcast where we talk about anything and everything witchy from a practitioner and non-practitioner's point of view. I'm Zoe, a witch.
I'm Andrew, I'm not.
And today is a podcast day.
Yeah, we're going to podcast and talk about stuff. Okay. I have a fun fact at the end, so Stay tuned. It's exciting.
But at the beginning of every episode, we go over a tarot card in no particular order. Andrew gives his initial interpretation as
a non-practitioner,
point
of view.
Yep. And then I give mine as a tarot reader.
A practitioner.
Yes.
Nice.
So today's card is the Knight of Wands. A knight in full armor sits on his horse. He holds a sprouting wand. The horse is up on two legs, poised and ready to go.
Hmm. He does have a sprouting wand. It looks like he's ready to go. He's like going into battle or something like that, but the sprouting wand is throwing me off. That usually means like life. But a knight I don't really associate with life, generally. I don't know, this one's kind of throwing me. I see pyramids in the background, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that has something to do with it, but yeah, I'm not really getting much from this one.
If this card were to come up in a reading, what do you think it would mean?
Get in, we're going on adventure.
Okay, yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
That's awesome. So, the Knight of Wands is interesting. They are ready to go.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yes.
We're going on adventure.
Wands are connected to fire. So, fire is creativity, passion, action.
It seems like fuel. A knight type thing. Yeah.
Yeah. The knight is a bit impulsive, they're creative, and they're curious, and they're just kind of like speeding through things.
So there's a knight for every suit, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Hmm.
So it's just, they're very energetic and they're very enthusiastic. They're passionate, they're impulsive. So when you reverse this card, you kind of have the idea that this is his exhaustive energy. This is haste. It's scattered brain, it's being unorganized, and you can also have impulsiveness in the reverse, in that it kind of gets you in trouble a little bit.
So there's a knight for every suit.
Correct.
Right? So does the knight always generally mean the same thing, and then it's associated with the suit? Like, it's always going to be that, like, ready-to-go thing, but because it's the Knight of Wands, it's, like, the creativity and impulsivity that, like, you're ready to go, and then, like, the Knight of Swords could be, I don't know what a sword symbolizes, something else, and the Knight of Cups could be really thirsty, really trying to get water, I don't know. Stuff you know what I mean? You know the question?
Yes. Okay. And yes, I get what you mean. And the answer is like yes and no.
Okay. Well, the yes part, still, because that means I'm right.
They still definitely have their own meanings. The knights do have a reputation, especially in like love readings, though, to be kind of like D-bags. Like, nah.
Okay. That's cool.
But yeah.
Nice. I always wanted to play a knight type character in D&D, but there's really not a good one. Like, there's really not like a good fighter D-backs. Knight. Like, you could maybe go paladin, kind of like armored knight, and then your oath is kind of like devotion, like to a king or something like that. But 5e kind of got weird with their paladins. Like, you get your spells by like being really devoted to something, like vengeance. You don't get it from like a deity, like you did in like 3.5 or Pathfinder. It's weird. I mean, I like it for the role-playing aspect. You're not, like, tied to it like a cleric could be. But, yeah, I wish I could play a cool knight. There's an eldritch knight you could play if you take fighter. You get some spells and stuff.
And we
like a third caster.
And we now return to the Witchcraft podcast.
Yep, we're here. Anyway.
Oh, I forgot to introduce myself funnily.
Like funnel cake.
Like funny.
Do you have a voice changer?
No. I posted a meme on our Instagram and said that this is how I would like you to address me from now on.
How I wish to be addressed. Woman, demon, countess, or whatever the hell you are. Yes.
That's ma'am. How I would like to be addressed from now on. Thank you.
Do I just get to pick?
No, I'm all of the things.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, let's get to our main topic.
This is the main event.
Woo! So, we're going to talk about Mullen today.
Mullen?
Mullen!
I feel like I've heard that word before.
Because we have lots of jars of Mullen around here.
That's it. Just Mullen around. That's it.
Sure.
Like when you're just wandering, you're just like Mullen around.
So, it is...
Milling. That's milling. Never mind.
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind. We'll go with yours.
Mulling around. Like mulling. I don't know.
We'll figure it out later. Yeah. But today, we're talking about the stuff in jars.
Yes. An herb.
An herb.
A plant.
Yes. It's green, generally. Sometimes it's different colors, but mostly green. It can in jars. It's nice to have around to preserve it and keep it. Do you want to tell me what you know about it?
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. So the scientific name, I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce because I'm not going to be able to do that. Verbascum.
So you're going to try.
Verbascum.
Where is it?
Verbascum thopsis.
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 Thopsis?
Yep.
Thopsis.
That's not it. like the guy from the Godzilla movie, Ferris Bueller, Matthew Broderick, is something Totopolis, and they always say his name wrong. It's Totopolis.
You got me off track, but it's like the guy from Twilight.
Okay.
That I can't even remember his name anymore. All I remember
the one that's a dog?
No, yes. All I remember is watching an interview where he's like, yeah, that's actually not how you pronounce my name, but, like, they just started saying my name like that, and I was a kid, and I didn't want to correct them, and so...
You mean the guy from Harry Potter?
No. Okay, moving on.
Okay.
So, the name is broken into the meaning soft, supple, flexible, tender, which makes sense as those kind of describe the plant itself, which obviously that's why it's got
this name. That's probably why they named it like that. Wow.
So mullen is also known by a couple of different, actually a lot of different names. We'll call them
aliases. Pick your top three.
Today. Oh, I have more than the top three I'm giving you.
Okay.
Jupiter staff.
Oh.
Aaron's rod.
Mm.
Candlewick plant.
Whoa. Is that big?
Candle flower. Hag's taper, feltwort, fluffweed, and my favorite, cowboy toilet paper.
Oh, nice. Better than like poison ivy, that's for sure.
Yes.
So I was watching a video on YouTube a while ago, and a guy was making candles, but I don't know what they were using. It was like natural candles. Is this something that you actually use to make candles?
Wait and see.
Okay.
All right. So unlike a lot of plants, or herbs, it was never really used as a food. It was used medicinally, but it was never something that people were like,
yum,
nom nom, put this in your soup.
Mullen soup.
I mean, they make tea from it, but it was commonly in medicinal gardens.
Okay.
So according to a Greek legend, the gods gave Ulysses, who you probably know Ulysses as Odysseus.
I was thinking like the president. Like
the Odyssey.
Yeah, okay.
In the Iliad and the Odyssey.
Sure.
It's just like the Latin version. But they gave Ulysses a mullen stalk to defend himself against Circe, who was an enchantress who had turned like all of his like people, warriors, into swine.
Oh, no.
So this was the magic stick.
Yeah, Jupiter staff.
Yes.
I have a magic stick in my D&D game.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, it's my shillelagh. I whack them.
So during the Middle Ages, an old herbal saying was, like, if a man beareth one twig of this wort, he will not be terrified by any awe, nor will a wild beast hurt him or any evil coming near.
Including swine.
Including swine.
Yeah. He said that.
Yes. No.
Not that part. Maybe he thought it.
So there was just like this plant of protection.
Sure.
Even in the Middle Ages.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, my brain broke.
Yeah.
In France, people would pass sprigs of mullein through a fire on St. John's Eve, which you might know as Midsummer.
Shakespeare did a thing.
You should know now.
Right? Midsummer's Night?
Yeah.
Okay.
In order to protect cattle from sickness caused by sorcery.
Yep.
In England, putting mullein under your butter churn was thought to bring back butter that had been, like, witched away.
Really?
Yes. So this plant had, like, this weird duality that it was used to, like, ward away witches,
mm-hmm.
but also it was used by witches.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, take it for themselves.
And also, like, just the act of, like, ooh, put this plant under your churn and it'll bring back butter.
Isn't that almost like witchcraft?
Like, yeah.
Okay. I'm with it.
We're on the same page here.
I understand. We're just manufacturing butter here. I mean, they are manufacturing butter, but I mean...
Yes.
It's not like the, what's the alchemy stone or the...
Sorcerer's stone?
Kind of. Yeah, I guess.
The goblet, that thing.
Not
that
the sorcerer's Jesus stone. No.
Right, doesn't have... that's a basket of fish.
Okay.
Right?
I don't know.
It's like an endless basket of fish.
I'm really not up on my, like, Bible stuff.
I'm pretty sure he has an endless basket of
okay.
fish. All right. So, mullein. It's not native in America.
Alchemist stone. That's it.
Okay.
Not
Let's
native. Let's move on.
Not native in America.
No, it's not. It's not a Native American plant.
Where did it come from?
The Middle East.
Actually, it came from, like, Europe.
That's the Middle East. Yep. That's so freaking close. You know, it's like a little west.
Okay. you might need to cut that part out. All right. It was first brought here in seed form in the 1630s by the Puritans.
And that's an invasive species.
It was mainly in medicinal gardens.
Yeah.
Okay. But how do we know it came in the form of seed? It's because it was, like, grossly used by fishermen throughout, like, Europe and Asia, particularly Germany and Britain, I think. Don't quote me on that. But it was used as, like, a pesticide, a fish poison. And so, like, slow streams, they would put crushed mullein seed in, and it would basically suffocate the fish, and it would make it easier for them to collect food. Because it's not poisonous to humans.
Hmm.
So they would just poison the water.
Is it poisonous to fish?
Yes. It has... a pesticide in it called, it begins with an R, Rombius.
Real bad for fish.
Real bad for the fishies.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to look this up.
And actually, the king of Germany outlawed fish poisoning in like 1212.
That's why people throw M80s in the pond now.
So it was brought over by the Puritans. Which means that it wasn't an automatic part of, like, native North American history. This was a new plant. They didn't know much about it. But that didn't mean that they didn't utilize it. And Native Americans actually soon realized that the plant offered them a lot of benefits. One being that it is soft and fuzzy. And it made really good lining for moccasins.
Yep.
And so they would put it in their shoes to keep them warm.
Yeah, anything that holds a lot of air is a really good insulator. That's why cardboard, newspaper, stuff like that. Yeah.
So, if the plant wasn't here.
If it wasn't here, where would it be?
How was it used where it was from?
As fish poison.
Aside from fish poison.
As tea?
Yes, that is also a possibility.
Okay.
Actually, it is. It is used in tea. But the Greeks fashioned mullein fibers into, like, lamp wicks using, like, the dried leaves.
Is this like really fibrous or something like that?
It's very fuzzy and dry and makes good fire.
Ah, okay. So I don't think this is the video I was watching. The video I was watching, they took like long pieces of grass and took the core out, and that was like spongy material. So this is different, but still same use. But this was also in England that they were doing this in. So anyway.
Romans dipped the whole head of the plant into tallow and carried it like a natural torch.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Specifically in funeral processions. Yep. So it is also known as a funeral, like a funerary torch, which I use to make my funny ha-ha because these bad boys make quite the fire. And so not only can you use it for your funeral, it might burn your house down.
Yes. Yeah, you might need a funeral when you're done.
They are fibrous. They make slow, even burns.
Mm-hmm.
But the stalks are also like a lighter weight, which meant that it was easier to carry than like a solid wood torch.
Mm-hmm.
So Romans used it for like their larger, like longer marches.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
And if it's locally sourceable, like you can forage for it while you're on your march. So it makes it even easier. Yeah.
They just have to have tallow to.
Which they did.
Yes. Some people actually smoke mullein, like tobacco.
Nice.
Which I guess I probably should have like.
Started with that?
No. What's the word? Spoiler tease. Warned you? Warned. I'm not a medical professional.
Me neither.
This is all just. Information.
Yeah. I am not a doctor.
Nope.
I took a biology class. We learned about lemurs.
Greek physicians prescribed it for like lung conditions.
Really?
Yeah. So both the leaf and the flower have expectorant properties of it. So it like soothes sore throats and sedates spasms. And so coughs and like mucus and like all that kind of.
I have all those things right now.
Stuff with
mullein. Wow. Look at that. I should have mullein.
You should make mullein tea.
I should be mulling around.
There you go.
All right. With ginger.
Yeah.
Ginger. Man, yeah, ginger is really good. It's got some of those properties. Man, ginger was so cheap at that produce junction the other day.
That was.
Man, never seen ginger like that.
So, we have the history of mullein, in a sense, kind of folklore, where did it, origin story.
Mm-hmm.
Next is kind of a, I don't know, maybe I should have started with this, but like, what does it actually look like? So, you can forage it.
It would have been nice to know going into this, because I asked the question, what does it look like?
So, it's tall. If you get up to like 8 feet tall.
That's taller than me. That's like me on my shoulders.
It has a really strong stem and... like no branches really.
Huh.
The leaves are smaller towards the top and it gives the whole plant like this like tapered appearance.
Yes, like a tree.
Kind of, yeah.
Like an evergreen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for it has these like woolly soft hairs. You know the lamb's ear plant outside? Kind of like that.
Exactly like that.
Except for mullein can gets like dry really quickly.
Okay, so not like that. Similar.
It's biennial.
Really?
Which means that it reproduces by seed.
Right. So it grows, it dies, it drops the seeds, then they fertilize, and then the year after, the 1 year later, then they grow.
I believe that biennial, what usually ends up happening is that the first year it does grow, but it just like grows green and it doesn't flower or anything. And then the second year it flowers, I think.
Interesting.
Like, we have peonies outside, and this year they were just, like, little green leafy sticks, and next year...
they'll be big boys.
Maybe they'll have a flower.
And then they'll die, and then they'll grow from seed again.
Yeah, except for it's Delaware, so...
yeah.
Who knows?
I'm not an arborist.
But their flowers tend to open one at a time, or, like, in really small groups. They have little yellow flowers inside of, like... that tapered look kind of, it reminds me of Brussels sprouts.
I love Brussels sprouts, especially with bacon.
And so they don't all open up. You're probably never going to see like a big yellow torch, but you'll see spurts of it, and this allows it to pollinate better and then have a better chance of seeding, because it gives it like a bunch of chances rather than like one chance right now. Yeah,
it doesn't just blow its load and be done with it.
Yes.
It's like spurts out little bits at a time. Yeah.
Okay, so can you guess the element correspondence for
fire?
Mullen. You did it!
I know. It's because we did the night of whatever.
The night of wands.
Yeah, the night of spurty stick. Whatever. You know. Yes. Wands.
So magically, mullen is used for protection, divination, opening the door to the other world, spirit communication, and it's also used in sleep magic.
Really? I would think that it would be more like travel and journeys.
Yeah, like astral projection usually, though.
Okay.
And like protecting you from like night terrors.
Oh my gosh, stuff. This works really well with that knight of wand.
Yeah.
Because that's what he's all about. He's like, come on, we're doing stuff.
He should just really be holding mullen.
Should be. I don't know why he's not. Why are we screwing around with this stick?
So you can create something called like a dream pillow where you stuff it with mullen and it'll protect against nightmares.
Can you put lavender in it too?
Yeah.
Or can we do that now?
It's a whole like spell session.
Yeah. Why don't we do that?
How do you know you don't?
I just got new pillows from Marshall's.
You can mix mullen with dill, salt, and fennel, and you can sprinkle it around and use it as like protection.
I'm a fan of all of those things.
Some people just keep like a mullen plant near their doors, like a big mullen plant by their door if they have the ability to.
Indoor or outdoor?
Outdoor.
Outdoor, okay. Typically.
And then there's an interesting idea that it can be used as a substitution for graveyard dirt, which...
I don't know about that.
So... Some people feel like you can use mullen as a substitution for graveyard dirt. But then there's also another hoodoo thing called graveyard mix. I couldn't come up with a word. And then when I was trying to Google like graveyard mix, I was just getting brownie recipes.
That sounds nice. Because
apparently there's a brownie.
Called a graveyard mix?
Called a graveyard mix.
Does it have chunks in it? Like Oreo chunks?
But so there's graveyard. You can't
gloss over this.
I don't know. You didn't
check? Oh, man. We'll post it.
The but recipe. There is graveyard dirt, like we talked about in our previous episode.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Which is actual physical graveyard dirt.
Dirt from a graveyard.
And then there is a hoodoo practice where it's kind of like loose incense in a sense. In a sense.
Like potpourri? No.
No.
The way you're looking at me. No. Okay.
And it's usually made because, like, in hoodoo, there's a lot of, like, powders that are mixed with, like, Appalachian folk magic and stuff. And one of them is called, like, a graveyard something. And it is a mix of herbs, which I'm going to assume mullen can be a part of that mixture, which is used like graveyard.
Could be. Some people may.
I'm going to say that I don't know enough information on this one. So
if you know. Send it to us. Let us know.
Powdered mullen is used often in like graveyard dirt spells or graveyard spells in general because it's a really good way to the communication and connection, especially like a funeral
procession
thing. Like I feel like it's that like that pathway, that light. You were asking specifically is yes, you can make your own candles from them. People dry the stalk. And then they dip it in beeswax, and it creates like a torch, a crazy, wild, insane torch that will most definitely burn down your house, but they are awesome.
So light them outside.
Yeah, I guess so.
In the street.
And then you can also get loose mullen. There is a difference between getting mullen flower and then getting mullen leaves.
And mullen seeds.
Yep.
And mullen seeds. Stalk.
Exactly.
There's lots of different parts to it.
Exactly.
Like a buffalo.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there you go. That's mullen.
I like it. We should get some.
We have some.
Is it planted out front, like you said?
We have a lot of mullen.
Is it planted out front?
I'm telling you.
We should. We should make it in our. We should put it in our herb garden in the coming year.
These things.
Yeah.
All right.
For the best.
Hit us with a fact.
Okay, my fun fact is something that came up at work the other day. Pervious concrete pervious PCC or cement and concrete specifically. Someone asked for a specification for it. So I started looking into it, and it's actually pretty cool. It's really no different than regular cement, except it just has holes in it, like pervious, so that the water can pass through it or go down and then be collected in a pipe and then quality controlled on the outfall. So it's really no different than regular cement, other than you take out all the fines, like the really, really fine little particles that are generally what hold your cement as like one structure. So you take those out and you just have holes in it, and then your water just goes through. Yeah. So I think they're using it on a bridge deck. So like it should go down to the bottom of the layer and then be filtered out through like scuppers, which is interesting. But it reduces the amount of impervious, which is important for our projects because we quantify everything as pervious or impervious. Like a roadway is impervious because the water doesn't go through it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it has to do with like water infiltration and water quantity and quality and how much water we're actually diverting from its natural state. So by having a pervious sidewalk, you can reduce your impervious footprint and better for the environment.
But is that going to make sidewalks like break?
It's not going to be used on all sidewalks. There's a lot of different considerations. DENREC, the Delaware Natural Resources Department, they give a lot of different guidance on when it can be used. So it's usually used in like really low traffic areas. Like if you think of like a median that you got like curbs on both sides and you got like a sidewalk median, it's actually just PCC. So you're going to get no pedestrian traffic on it, no traffic at all, other than you'll probably get it all silted up. So it's not going to last very long. We use pervious asphalt for parking stalls sometimes. So like if you're going through a parking lot, right, the drivable area would not be impervious. Your drivable area would be impervious because you get a lot of traffic on that.
Okay, yeah.
But then the different stalls on the side where you don't get a lot of through traffic, where people are just putting their cars to sit, you could do
okay.
a pervious there.
Interesting.
And then pervious asphalt is just the same thing, less fines, bigger holes.
Very cool.
I actually worked on some of that when I was in college. It was pretty cool. Yeah, we were lucky.
Full circle.
Yeah. Yeah, it was exciting. So it's interesting that it's coming up, and I got to write the new spec for it because we didn't have one. So
holy asshole.
I am now almost the expert.
Almost the expert.
Yeah. Well, I called Steve the other day. I was like, hey, do you know much about this? And he's like, actually, I wrote that spec for DENREC. I was like, well, good thing I called you. So I am the second expert, second in line.
Awesome.
But yeah, it's exciting. I think it's cool. The way that the department is moving, the Delaware Department of Transportation is moving, is that we're doing a lot more environmentally friendly designs. So I think this will be a huge boon if we can get it to work.
I love that.
Yep.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, Sean.
And that's it for our episode today, you guys. We will see you next week where we share fun things.
Yeah. Things that we want to dig in or want to bury and stuff like that. Like maybe we should bury some mullein seeds. We'll have to dig them out and then bury them, you know?
There you go.
Yeah.
And until then, bye.
Later, Gator.